discussion on the super heavy element factory. And the next talk will be given by the Sergei Bogomolov on the iron sources.
Good morning. My talk will be about the PCI iron source for our new machine DC280. It's called Decrease PM. That means Dubna ECI iron source permanent magnet. On this slide, you will see the whole assembly of our new machine, and the iron source is some small part, but very important. And in more detail, the iron source will be installed at high voltage platform. Then the beam will be separated due to according to the different mass charge ratio, and then injected to the cyclotron. We plan to build two high voltage platforms. The first one will be equipped with permanent magnet ECI iron source, and in the future, the second platform will be equipped with superconducting ECI iron source. According to the working diagram of new machine, the iron source should provide the different charge state in the mass to charge ratio from 8 up to 7.5. And here are the listed different type of ions which will be produced from the source. We in our laboratory already developed a number and built a number of ECI iron sources. Some of them are working on our cyclotrons and other in different machines. And the newest ECI iron source, Decrease PM, is now under the test at our test bench. Why permanent magnet ECI iron source? Because it will be installed as a high voltage platform, the main goal was to decrease the power consumption of the source. So we had two choices, permanent magnets or superconductivity, and it was decided the first one will be built on the base of permanent magnet. And one of the main advantages of this permanent magnet ECI iron source is a low power consumption, simplified operation, almost without cooling. And the drawbacks are that the magnetic field distribution is fixed, so we have no tuning by magnetic field. And system should be carefully optimized during design and manufacturing. And manufacturing and assembling of the magnetic system is also very complicated due to the strong forces. So the parameters of the iron source were chosen, parameters of magnetic field were chosen according to the scaling source for axial magnetic field distribution, and it was a compromise for reasonable weight and dimensions of the magnet system. The sketch of the magnetic system of the iron source is shown here. It comprises with permanent magnet rings magnetized in different direction, radially or axially. We have three blocks of such rings, injection ring, extraction ring, and the central ring. And here you can see the total magnetic field given by these three blocks. Because you can never predict the exact value of remnants of the permanent magnets, we use the soft iron plates here to tune during the assembly, to tune the necessary magnetic field. Here you can see the correction of bare minimum, this point. With different thickness of soft iron plates. And another things we introduce into the design is the central coils, which also allows the tuning of by minimum value already during operation. And the assembling procedure was the following. Each block was measured separately, then corrected for the calculated value by machining the soft iron plates, as already then the magnetic system was assembled. Here you can see the some components of magnetic system, hexapod during the measurement of magnetic field at the test bench, one of the permanent magnet ring, axially magnetizing, and fully assembled magnetic system concluded on the aluminum frame, because magnetic field, stray magnetic field is so high that you cannot use even the conventional tools for assembling and for other operation. After full magnetic system was fully assembled, we measured the magnetic field. Here you can see the axial magnetic field distribution calculated and measured, radial magnetic field in the center of the hexapole. We also measured coil effect. When you change the polarity and the value of the current of the coil, almost without changing the magnetic field in the in the injection and extraction peaks, you can tune the minimum B value for this magnetic field. It's enough for tuning the source during operation. And some details of the iron source. It's a magnetic system with plasma chamber, extraction system, and injection plug. Extraction system consists of three electrodes, negatively biased and cooled puller. The assembly of puller and grounded electrode is movable without breaking the vacuum. And the injection plug, it's some parts for injection ultra-high frequencies, some ports for gas injection, solid injection, cooling of bias disk, and 3D view. And sorry. And the iron source is connected to the extraction block, and after that, extraction box with pumping, and then the focusing solenoid. And now this iron source is installed at our test bench. It does not the same structure as will be at the cyclotron. The aperture of the iron guide is smaller. We have single gap extraction system and bending analyzing magnet. It's injection ultra high frequency, gas injection. And all the body of the source is isolated up to 20-25 kilovolts with these plastic insulators. And some results of the test. This slide shows the argon charge state distribution. One of these is optimized for argon 8+, and the argon another for argon 11+. I should say it's our best result for the 14 gigahertz SAR iron source. It's almost 1 milliamp. Krypton test, we optimized some modes of operation of the source for krypton 17+ and krypton 19+. Also, the source was tested with xenon, xenon 20+ 77 microamperes, 26+ 50 microamperes. Of course, we tested the iron source for production of calcium ion beams. We optimized it for calcium 9, more than 200 microamps, calcium 11+, 1.500. Also, we tested for magnesium and iron. I should say the iron was just the first test. In previous ions, our iron sources, we produce more. For example, iron 10+. And all the results done for this moment are summarized in this table. I should say the source works very stable and reliable. And now, Dr. Kalagin already said that the basement for the installation of axial injection system is assembled. June-September, we will assemble all parts of axial injection system, including magnets, focusing solenoids, vacuum volumes, with complete injector system. And in October, This year we plan to install the iron source at the cyclotron. That's all, thank you.
Thank you very much for the report, which is open for the questions.
Yeah, when the accelerator will run, you will have no longer access to the iron source to make further developments. So my question is, if you have a possibility to have an identical second iron source in the laboratory to make further developments.
I should say we would be happy if we had the second source of such type.
Do you think it's possible?
Yes. That's okay. Just a question of financing and
I think it's really necessary because for experiments later, the accelerator has to run almost continuously and you will have no chance to make developments.
The another possibility, when we will have the second high voltage platform, the first one can be used for some tests.
Yeah, but you cannot enter the cyclotron.
Yes, but it can be found some time gap to enter to the platform to tune something and then just to control.
And second question is, you mentioned this 200 microampere of calcium. What is the assumption?
It's also some short tests, just few hours, and we measured a bit lower than 1 microgram per hour. 1 milligram, sorry, one milligram per hour. In the long-term operation, the consumption will be significantly decreased.
Other questions? I have a question because you presented, of course, the development with the current iron source, and there's also foreseen to install the superconducting one in the future. Can you say more about the superconducting source? What are the plans? And both sources will be installed at the cyclotron, or one source will replace another one in the future?
In fact, it's planned to install two. At least in the original project, it is planned to install two iron sources because one is this one, decreased PM is 14 gigahertz, and the next one will be 18 gigahertz. And it will be maybe this time it will be some progress in permanent magnets. It will be possible to build a permanent magnet system for 18 gigahertz. But now we plan to use the superconducting coils for axial magnetic field. In fact, it will be not the fully superconducting source, but a hybrid type iron source. Permanent magnet and superconducting coils. And the 18 gigahertz will provide the ions heavier than, for example, calcium, iron, close to bismuth, uranium, and such type of ions.
It will be important to keep both sources, indeed, because they are complementary. Probably it will be not so easy to force the superconducting source to produce lower charge states with the very high intensity. This is usually used really for the much higher charge states and heavier beams. So that to keeping both sources at the cyclotron is probably even essential for the operation. It was also one question from one of the referee who is absent. Ivan? Is he not absent? Yes. I'm giving the opportunity, ask the question.
Thank you very much. So I have not one, but let's say three questions.
No.
First one is planning budget for construction of ion source and which part of this budget was already spent?
Your question is what budget of the ion source?
Yeah.
If you asked me a day before, I could find all the data. Now I'm not prepared.
Okay, so I send it 7th of June to our colleagues, so I expected that you will receive my report.
And the second question was what?
You mentioned in your in your report payment to external organization, to ITT group, so I would like
yes,
to understand
the company
which part was done in Dubna and which part was done outside. And this last question, expected date of the full operation of Jon Soars.
Okay, now, so the second question. The permanent magnet system was produced in Russia, in Moscow. All the internal parts, including all vacuum system, vacuum Praga, let's say focus in Salinovit, Slovakia. All the other parts were assembled in Dubna.
So it's roughly in percentage how much? So 20% outside? Just estimation, it's not necessary to
leave. Let's say so. In our laboratory, we produce some very small parts because, let's say, the frame for the magnet system was produced in Dubna, atom factory. Yes. What else? As for, let's say, ultra or high frequency generators, we use CPI amplifiers.
And so, okay, expected date of the full operation of your source?
The source is already in full operation. It produces the beams, real beams.
Okay, because you mentioned just tests. Okay.
Yes, it's the test, it means we producing ions of different substances, tuning for each charge state. So we already tested it with gases, with solids. With solids, we used Owen technique and Maivac technique.
Sure. So please, is it possible to send a report in time to colleagues who are responsible for talks? Because I sent a report 7th of June and 1 week later I recognize that they even know about some questions. Yeah? So it's not remark to you, but no. Remark to our colleagues who are responsible for organization of PAC. Thank you.
So indeed, this was the idea for these pre-reports, that they will be communicated to the speakers before the session and then would be able to answer. But I think what I have noticed in the previous presentation, and also this one, some questions were answered. So I think not all of them maybe, yeah. So the speakers were aware of some questions, yeah. I hope it will be done in a systematic way for the next committee. As all committee members send the reports before the meeting. Yeah, I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
And we'll move to the third presentation on this topic, on separators, targets, and detector units. Andrei Popeko.
I think it's not necessary to speak a long time about the achievements in reactions induced by calcium 48, but I must stress that more than 50 new isotopes have been produced in this super heavy region. The goals to create a super heavy element factory are mentioned by Igor Kalagin, so I will also don't speak about it. But to be able to perform all the studies, first of all, one must have targets. Unfortunately, the heating of targets is not the only one problem. There are many others. For example, you must the isotopes which are used in our studies, these are starting from thorium up to californium 251. And you must get this isotope from somewhere. Now, I think in the world, only two places where these isotopes can be produced. This is Oak Ridge National Laboratory with a 85 megawatt reactor and Dimitrovgrad with 100 megawatt reactor. And we have, fortunately, good collaboration with these installations. Problem number one, it's material availability. Because, for example, some of the isotopes can be are unlimited, for example, thorium, plutonium 239, other are very rare. For example, this green drop, it's a known picture, it's 22 milligrams of berkelium, that is a production of 1 year running of the reactor, and no, no possibility to get more. Second one, the targets must be optimized, because if you have a very thin target, then you will have a very high transmission, but the yield will be zero. If you increase the target thickness, then you will get a scattering, and the transmission will drop, but the yield will be increased. So somewhere is a saturation, and this I would be an optimal target thickness, and so this curve is specific for reaction and for the given separator which you are using. It would be good to be able to optimize the targets, but it's not every time possible because of the availability of materials. Second, third problem is radiation safety. This is a picture from Sigurd Hoffmann. Suits you must have if you are working with relatively low radioactive curium-248, and if you work with californium, then the protection must be most serious. And there are also joint or common limitations in allowed amount of materials which you can use in one experiment, even in the class 2 laboratory. Then destruction of targets. heating is the most understandable because in few milliseconds at the high power beam, target will be melted or evaporated. But it's only not only the one process limiting the available usable beam power. First of all, it's sputtering. It's knocking out of aggregates of targets or single atoms, and radiation damage. All this leads to destruction of the target. So how to reduce the heating? The problem, the solution of the problem is only to increase the size of the target and to use rotating targets. No revolutionary solutions have been found until now. Because, for example, we have analyzed at GSI the possibility to use, for example, liquid target, which is possible, for example, for mercury or lead, but it's not possible for transactinides. Or gaseous targets, it could be possible, for example, using the hexafluoride of uranium, but for other actinides, I cannot imagine it. Or even dust targets vibrating on, for example, piezo crystals. So the targets which are used, for example, at Berkeley, at Tusk, at GSI, this is target 10 centimeter at gas field separator and also at Vasilisa and Masha separators, and targets 30 centimeter used at SHIP, and targets from Ganil, 60 centimeter in diameter. Here I must say, for example, typical target consists of 2 micrometer titanium backing with 0.5 milligram of any oxide of actinides. And this gives for calcium 48 beam at one particle microamp 20 watt per square centimeter, and at stagnant target it will lead to the heating up to 1600 degrees. The calculations, heating and cooling down of targets made in the group led by Georgi Gulbikyan, including radiation cooling and cooling with the gas and rotational targets with different rotations of speed rotations and different diameters, showed, and also many other, that increasing the beam current up to 10 particle microamp using the targets of approximately 30-40 centimeters and cool it in the gas, rotate it with a velocity up to 1,000 rotation per minute, the temperature at 10 particle microamp will reach approximately 700 degrees. The same calculation has been done in this FREAP facility for the beam of 400 kilowatt uranium beam, and the data coincide somehow. So, construction of the target block. Here we must say that the target can be equipped or assembled in radiochemical laboratory of the second class at least, and as a whole, this is an old target, closed valves, and then you can bring this target to the experimental device. The old targets are running successfully for more than 25 years, and I think it was a very good design by Gennady Ivanov. And for example, this is a diameter of 120 millimeters up to 1,500 rotation per minute, and it is synchronous target. It can be synchronized with the accelerator or opposite. It can give signals to the chopper at the cyclotron beam. It was a question. So beam wobbler systems or beam scanners are also using to smear the beam through the surface of the target spot. Then segmented diaphragms are used for the beam monitoring even at full power. And as I said, these targets are used since many years. The new design. It's again a rotating target with increased diameter up to half a meter, rotation speed 1,500 rotation, and what is new, electronic beam testing of the target, and optical diagnostic are foreseen. Here are special windows, and the bearings or feed throughs are cooled with water. So this target is ready, and I think a contract will be signed very soon with Vacuum Praha for manufacturing of this target. So separators. Before to choose separators, we have analyzed several hundred of reactions leading to production of heavy or super heavy elements, and conclusion number one that pure magnetic systems are not applicable for our case, because as you see, this is a magnetic rigidity in Tesla meters and intensities, so beam, transfer products and recoils overlap. So it's so one could, for example, use these tails, but it's very inefficient. Second one, we can determine the limiting maximal parameters for any separator. So, for example, if you will use electric deflection, then you must design your setup up to 10 megavolt. Magnetic rigidities for air-free separators is up to 1 Tesla meter, for a gas field up to 3.5, and the use of quadrupoles needs 5 Tesla per meter for air-free and up to 15 Tesla meter for gas field separators. And what is proposed, that we decided to construct 3 types of the separators, because using only one device, it's very inefficient and sometimes also impossible. The gas field separator, and we have proposed a scheme, quadrupole, dipole, 2 quadrupoles and dipole. It performs focusing in 2 spaces, impulse and charge space. This separator is now in manufacturing. I will speak in more detail about this later. Velocity filter shells. It was reported by Sasha Irium in several PAC meetings ago. Now it is in test operation, and I think it would be useful to discuss at the PAC meeting physical results and possible direction of development of these studies. And the gas field pre-separator, which will serve to removing the beam, and further selection and separation of reaction products will be done, for example, by a gas catcher or reaction recoil stopping chamber. Gas field separator. proves it can provide the highest efficiency of the experiment because it provides high transmission and provides additional cooling with the gas. This additional cooling with the gas gives a factor of from 2 to 3 or 4 additional to the rotating targets. But cons, it is not applicable for symmetric reaction. It doesn't work at all for symmetric combinations. It cannot distinguish beam, complete fusion products, and transfers. The known separators, I know 6 of them. This is Dubna separator. I think it's the oldest running separator. And the new in China, Shans, but unfortunately not many data are available concerning the separator. And here I must stress that only Dubna gas field separator can work with hydrogen fueling, which provides the better, the best separation of reaction products. I don't know the reason why the people has limited the maximal magnetic rigidity up to 2.5 Tesla meter. So this is our joint design from our laboratory and Sigma Phi firm in France. Here are the beam plots simulations and the general view of the separator. And here are calculated characteristics concerning the transmission and the yield of the products. It's for the reactions calcium 48 on curium. So this is target thickness. This is the yield. And this is the existing separator. And this is calculated curve for the new separator. So if you have enough target material, so, for example, at the thickness of 0.3 milligram per square centimeter, the old separator which reads the situation, and here you will have the gain up to factor 2.5 approximately. This is what we expect. Technical characteristics, quadrupoles. The first quadrupole has a bore diameter of 150 millimeter and maximal field gradient up to 13 Tesla meters. Two second quadrupoles have a huge diameter, 30 centimeter, and reduced gradient up to 6 Tesla meter, and magnetic dipoles, and as you can see, radius of curvature and maximal field gives you 3.3 Tesla meter, so we are not limited in using the filling gas. The situation. The coils for all optical elements are ready and are manufactured, but the iron pieces are now the, under machining, and here are the data when these parts will be delivered to the Sigma Phi for assembling. Unfortunately, here is delay of about 1 month. But the mass delay is with the power supplies, which will be ready only in September. So as it was planning, the separator will be delivered to Dubna end of September, but now we think it will be middle of October. So after that, we will start the assembling of the separator. This is the arrangement of the separator. This is the accelerator, and here is approximate position of this gas field separator, and this is a view of the cabin number 2, where the separator will be situated. I must say that using the experience of the people from ship, we have the height of the mid-plane of the beam, 1 meter 80 centimeter. Velocity selector, as I said, there was a special report, or I hope will be soon, by Sasha Ruhrman, so I will not speak long about it, because the separator is running, and many reports on conferences and articles, technical and physical, have been now published, and it's a good device, and it's not fully ready, but it's under testing experiment. Pre-separator. Because if you remove the beam, the further separation can be done using chemical methods. Then you can study with this fusion and multinucleon transfer reactions, use it together, for example, with a gas catcher or with a laser selective spectroscopy for mass spectrometry or nuclear spectrometry of heavy atoms. Here we have not a final decision until now. The first, and it seemed to be very promising, was to use a superconducting double focusing magnet. But unfortunately, due to technical reasons, the dimensions of a cryostat require that you move target very far from the entrance of the separator, and this reduces the efficiency, so it has no reason to construct such a device. Other reasons are not so important, not so critical. Another scheme, it's a QDQ separator, also the beam plots. Unfortunately, I don't understand why it was possible to focus the beam in the correct space. What is considered as much interesting now is a separator having a double focusing gradient magnet with one quadrupole before him. Here's this opera simulation, and quadrupole parameters are very similar to that of the gas field separator. We have considered two variants for this magnet, warm and superconducting, both with a deflection angles of 40 degrees, but the bending radius are 1 meter 80 and 1 meter exactly, maximum fields, and field in homogeneity factor N1 only, is minus 1.20, it's a gradient. And additional focusing with rotated pole phases. There is no final decision, but I think we will think in this direction and using the warm magnet. Detectors. Now, I think this is a must advanced topic, and we use now double side detectors. This is a detector which is used at the gas field separator because the images there are elongated. It's 48 strips in a vertical direction and 128 in horizontal. So it has more than 6,000 pixels and a big detector, 128 by 128, used by Shells, has more than 16,000 pixels, so the granularity is very high. And only to show an example, detectors, as usually, will be arranged in the detector box, and the tests of this detector with the existing electronics gave a very good result. One has energy resolution up to between 15 and 20 kilovolt without cooling. It's very important. So, 1 minute. Other detectors which can be used together with this main stop detectors are our joint programs project with France, project Gabriela detector, having five germanium detectors, four germanium single crystals, and one clover detector. Then one can use for neutron measurements, for example, both from spontaneous fission or delayed emission of neutrons. It's helium-3-based neutron detector system, which has been used to measure prompt neutrons from reservoirium spontaneous fission. And a few words about the electronics. We use now, at the gas field separator, we use now two types, analog electronics and digital. Analog is homemade, and this digital has been provided by the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Unfortunately, there are problems. At the gas field, at the Shells we use practically only the analog electronics, another one, because if you have 16,000 elements, pixels, you must have 500, more than 500 amplification channels. It's here you can see this amplification, pre-amplifiers, and then amplifiers and this stuff. Then, unfortunately, this system from Oak Ridge National Laboratory, there is no open source code, so we cannot modify it, and there are attempts to combine both devices, but unfortunately it was not possible until now. They will be synchronized using the absolute time. But the developments in the direction will be continued. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Questions? Sigurd?
Yeah, first I want to say that everything looks very fine from the target over the separator to the detector system. So congratulations for this design and construction, that everything is in time. But one remark, I haven't seen a shielding between the target and the detector system. There's only the separator.
No, it's possible. For example, at shells, you know, they are in separate rooms. And for the gas field separator, the last dipole magnet can put it inside the wall, and this wall can be constructed from the blocks. What has been shown here is only this monolith beton walls. It's foreseen that then we will, after construction, we will put there a wall.
Okay.
It's also, for example, if you want to have a possibility to make spectroscopy at the target position, you must also screen the target position from the stopped beam stop. It also can be done. The first quadrupole can be put at inside the wall.
Okay. Other questions? Christian.
Since you mentioned Gabriela, could we know what is actually the efficiency of Gabriela, and in the future do you intend to increase the efficiency of the gamma ray detection?
Ooh, I think Sasha Yeroman could answer. It's new setup. It depends, of course, on the energy. And the half of the efficiency gives this Clover detector on the backward directions. And for crystals, I think for 100 keV, it's close to 30%. For 100 keV. Yeah. And crystals are placed in aluminum, thin aluminum housings. Yeah. So they're transparent, really. All the parts which are used in construction of the supporting frames are from the light elements. So it provides good efficiency.
I will try to ask one question per topic. So for the targets, you will use in the beginning the existing target system, or you will start the experiments immediately with the new one? And what's the timeline for this development? When this will be ready for the experiments? Very simple question.
So the new target block, which is designed with increased diameter, is ready for manufacturing, and the negotiations will be conducted with different firms. I think we will prefer Vacuum Praga. So I think one needs half a year to manufacture it. And if it will be longer, then we can use the old target. You have maybe seen that before the gas field separator, it's empty space because it was not clear what will be put in here. Good. It is foreseen that we will have differential pumping. But it needs a very sophisticated gas delivering system, and now we have negotiations with the first VAC firm this is a research instrument filial from the German firm to develop this system. Or if it will be not fully ready, there are possibility to use old rotating window system, because I think at the beginning the beam intensity will be not so high.
Then for the separators, I think it's still open question if the shells will move or not to the new facility, and
Definitely not. Until the accelerator U400 will run, then the experiments on the synthesis of super heavies will move to the new accelerator, and shells will be practically the only one consumer of the beam for long lasting experiments. So I think we must use this period as effective as possible. After the modernization of UFR-400M, then start the modernization of U400, then we will decide to manufacture a new separator or to move existing shells to these positions. I think it will 5 years. We have time to think about it.
So for the chef, for a moment, there's in fact one separator which is decided and funded. Oh. That's if I make a summary. Mm-hmm. Okay. For the detectors, when the full system will be ready for the experiments? We have asking more or less the same question every time, because the timeline was not shown in the documents.
It would
be nice to see the, you know, for all subsystems, the timeline, simply to understand in everything will be ready for the first experiment. Hmm.
I think we could start the experiment end of this year, simultaneously with the first beam of the cyclotron. But the more exact time schedule, we can present it later. I think the separator and all systems will be ready at the end of this year. I hope.
Okay, thank you. I don't see other questions, so let's thank Andy again. And we'll move to the next topic, Akulina 2. And Andrei Fomichev will present it.
Well, it's a great pleasure for me to inform you about current status of Akulina 2 fragment separator and a plan of first day experiments. On behalf of Akulina collaboration, I would like to say many thanks for directorate of our laboratory and scientific leader for the strong support of this kind of activity. I remind you that investigation with radioactive beam is a significant part of DRIPS-3 project. The shorter name is Light Exotics. Well, here, this is a scheme of previous separator Akulina 1 and Akulina 2, marked by green. The top view of a separator inside the U400 cyclotron hole is shown here from zero point up to first achromatic focus plane. At the moment, roughly four tens different magnetic elements were installed and connected for electricity and water, etc. And we started this year in spring first experiments, first radioactive beam production. Of course, to start a scientific program, we should make a concrete radiation shell around a production target and a beam liner, which is installed inside first dipole. This concrete will be used to make this house. What about behind the experimental cyclotron hole, this line. Now, this picture shows a final focus plane, F5, where we have a diagnostic box and a zero-angle magnet, which is also installed and will be connected in this summer. The reaction chamber, manufactured by Vacuum Praga, is delivered 2 weeks ago and will be installed soon. The last heavy instrument in this project is a radio frequency kicker. It is contracted last year, and it will be ready for installing in the middle next year. So the parameter of this device is roughly the same like a Riken type, but we have a bigger gap between a plate and some other difference in the range of frequency and in the top. Well, this year in spring, we start radioactive beam production, but before, the idea was to transmit the primary beam, nitrogen 15, from the beginning to end of a fragment separator. Of course, without any thickness along the line, without target and wedge. Here is envelopes in both direction along the time for the radioactive beams in this reaction, in fragmentation reaction, nitrogen plus beryllium 2 millimeters thick. We are happy that the beam profile was reproduced in a first achromatic focal plane. Here is a two-dimensional plot. Beam pixel is 4 by 4 millimeters, and we see the same beam profile as was diaphragmed at F1. It means that ion optics working well and reproduction could be started. I would say it is a first result and birthday, a real birthday of Akulina 2. Here is example of beryllium 12 production from this reaction. What is it? This is energy loss in silicon detectors versus time of flight. Beryllium 12 is recognized well. The beam purity is more than 90%. Here is a beam profile at a final focus plane, roughly 1 inch in diameter. One could conclude that we have a good agreement with calculation, and we have a factor of 25 in beam production for many ions compared with Akulina 1. It means that the run exposition during 1 month could be done during 1 day at Akulina 2. The second example is helium 6 from the same reaction. And again, we have a good agreement with estimation in production rate, beam purity, and beam profile. In summary, this is a plot, this is a short list of isotopes which were produced in this measurement. Here is the energy intensity normalized per one particle nanoamp. And for this parameter, acceptance and primary beam be spotted production target. The nuclei marked by arrows, beryllium 12 and helium 6, are in our interest to start experimental program this year. First experiment with radioactive beams could be started only at average primary beam intensity because of a serious reason connected with radiation shell. documentation to obtain permission to work with intensive ion beams. And the flagship experiment is hydrogen 7. It's not so easy to make proposal for a world level experiment at our facility. It's not a leader in the world in beam production. Nevertheless, the hydrogen 7 is a very attractive nuclei with extremely neutron rich nuclei. And we produce lithium 11 and helium 8 as a projectile to search this nuclei. For this program, we need extremely high intensity, and it could be available only next year. For this year, we would like to start the program with beryllium 12 and helium 6 to test the method and, of course, obtain some result. The hydrogen 7 is a puzzle, really puzzle. Here there are several experimental data with helium 8 beam on a proton target, on the deuterium target, and every time people find only limits in cross section. Some events with cross section several microbands per steradian. It's strange, but it's a reality. Only in one walk, Ganil people observed the very low resonance state at practically zero MeV. Nevertheless, the question is, what is the best way, red one or black one? I mean, using helium 8 and lithium 11. Lithium 11 is looks a good projectile. In the reaction alpha transfer, we could populate hydrogen 7. We have proposed to go by both way, and here is the flagship, a scheme of flagship experiment, which could be maybe in the next year, in the end, with lithium 11 at this energy, with intensity around 2 × 10⁴ particles per second, thick enough deuterium target, annual telescope to detect lithium 6, and decays product of hydrogen 7, tritium and neutrons. For this case, we should complete rotoscope detectors to detect hydrogen and increase a number of stibium-based neutron detector. So the estimation is we could expect 100 hydrogen 7 per day in missing mass measurement. Decay energy will be measured with around 100 kV resolution. Three events per day could be in triple coincidence between lithium 6, tritium, and neutrons. Well, let's say a little bit more about this year experiment. This reaction with beryllium 12 on the deuterium target to detect above stable particles is looking as a tool for the main run, isn't lithium 11. So here is a kinematical plot having a pair of annual telescope. We could detect above particles and say about cross section. So this is beam time, two weeks beam time experiment. I would remind you that such kind of experiment was done with our collaborator from Ganil when helium 8 used to populate tetraneutron. The cross section of alpha transfer reaction is looking big enough and of course is a good opportunity. This is a setup based on MAST-1 device. The next way is helium-6 on deuterium target, D-helium-3 reaction, as a tool for the main run with helium-8 beam. Again, we have some experience in this kind of measurement when we had only one master telescope. Now we could improve the setup by factor 4 and improve the energy resolution and statistics. Usually experiments have two problems, low statistics and energy resolution. So this is a good chance to improve it. Well, finally, this is our kind of experiment. I would remind you, this kind of measurement could be done during one week. This is an example of experiment which could be done during health week. This is a good example of last measurement with optical time projection chamber. This method was developed by Warsaw Team University by Mark Fusner and co-author. And here is a published data about real decay of phosphorus and sulfur 27. In one run, buff particles stopped inside the gas volume, and we see beta delay proton emission, one proton, two proton, and even three proton. With low background condition, the background is practically zero. Here is a comparison between GANIL data with implantation inside the silicon telescope. The scale of proton scale comes from 1.5 MeV. In our case, we have a pure spectra in low energy range. This is a summary table. Black marked our result by red and blue literature data. In both cases, we significantly improve the accuracy and branching ratio. Unfortunately, the limit is no events was observed beta 3 proton decays. So this measurement was done during several days. At Aquilina 2, we could reproduce these statistics during several hours, and of course to see the level of beta 3 protons. This is our proposal 2010 by Mark Fisson and co-authors. The idea is to observe beta delay helium-3 emission from silicon 23. The estimation is several particles per second of silicon 23, and we need several days to say this channel. I would like to do the summary. Aquilina 2 fragment separator is commissioned this year. The design parameter of this facility were experimentally conformed. I would say that this separator works like Switzerland works. Only 1% deviation from magnetic rigidity for quadrupole and dipole significantly change the picture. The calculation for this parameter were reproduced very well. So we believe that all calibration provide the best result. The intensity obtained in the fragmentation reaction for several radioactive beams were at average 20 times higher in comparison with the values for old facility. The first priority experimental program with radioactive beam is focused on hydrogen 7 nuclear and silicon 23. And to see the possible exotic decays which were said above. This program will be started this year. Many thanks for your attention.
Thank you, Andrei. Questions? Christian.
On the two experiments you want to perform this year, beryllium-12 plus D and helium-6, you want to look at alpha transfer reactions. So when you try to do some expectation, you are relying in some kind of coupled channel calculations, and with some kind of modeling of the reactions. Is there some clustering effects you are taking into account?
This is a good question. The Monte Carlo simulation is not completed yet, and of course this work will be done soon. What we could conclude? Beryllium 12 is alpha cluster system. Of course, the cross section could be roughly 1 milliband at forward angle degree. In the case of lithium 11, of course, this cross section should be several times low. In any case, the literature data is very, very poor regarding alpha transfer reaction at 25 MeV per nucleon. We would like to have two energy, 25 MeV and maybe higher, to make some systematics. This data will help us to make a plan with lithium level. This is the idea.
Other questions? So, yeah, it looks very nice what was achieved already in the test. And how this expected beam intensities for the lithium 11 and other nuclei compares to other facilities? Because you compare it to the Aquilina 1, it's a very nice factor 25, but how this compares to other facilities?
Thanks. It is a very good question. Here is a picture which explains our place in the world. Of course, our fragment separator, Aquilina 2, is compatible with RIPS, RIPS 1, but it has a more longer time of flight base, so in such experiment it's important. But nonetheless, the intensity is not a record compared with ferries, super ferries, big rips, etc. But the other advantages in our facility is room temperature operating. So the beam time is not so expensive, and we could make the measurement during several weeks. So we have some experiments with different cryogenic targets. And of course, new detectors could play a key role. Altogether makes our... we are compatible with VOLT facility. Of course, for low energy region, and the ions below calcium.
So you put these two highlight experiments at the very high, they are very good, hydrogen 7 and sulfur decay, but both of them are very challenging. For hydrogen 7, you need the maximum beam intensity, because if not, the statistics will be too low. And for the sulfur, you need the kicker working, I think. So to get the pure beam, so it will be challenging. Yeah. We have another question. Yes. Yes, please.
questions about beryllium 12 production. Please, beryllium 12. Slide, please.
So, beryllium 12 at one particle.
Before. This is. No.
Sorry. This one, yes?
No. Where's the two-dimensional picture?
Okay.
Beryllium 12 is red, so more. Is the next slide? Next slide, please. And next. So, in this, you see the 100 particles. Lithium 9, 1,000. Do you see, yes?
Lithium 9, you mean?
1,000.
Yes.
100, beryllium 12. Yes. Return to the picture, two-dimensional picture. It seems to me it not connect. So, in this picture, I understand that beryllium 12 is bigger.
Again, when a separator is tuned for beryllium 12, you will see only a satellite nuclei like helium 6 and etc. In the case of lithium 9, the beam quality is not so good. It's clearly seen from this picture. Helium 6 is only half in comparison with satellites. Okay. It's the same for lithium 9.
Okay. Next two-dimensional picture.
The previous one?
Two-dimensional picture. Vertical line. Two-dimensional picture. Vertical line is connected with tritons. Why is vertical lines present too?
So, this is a nuclear with the same velocity.
Yes, what does mean vertical line in this situation?
This line.
This.
This line, this is the energy loss in 300 micron detector, energy loss. Versus
semi-coincidence and not. Самосовпадение, вот визит. Okay, maybe we'll discuss.
Yes, we have just a visit of the FluoroFlab in few minutes.
You mean,
I think we can.
This beam sport, yeah?
Yes, and then Andrei, I think we'll discuss this on site.
I think so.
And just looking at the pictures. Thank you very much again for the presentation. And please be back here at 3:00 for the continuation of the session. Committee members, of course, has now the excursion to FluoroFlab.
Я уже рядом.